Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, B. Scott, he'll lay down for somebody, but I don't know. I don't know who that is.
No one's supposed to know. You don't kiss and tell, or lay and tell in this case. No one's supposed to know.
Sometimes you
just
do.
Stay hard, man.
I'm trying.
Stay hard.
I'm trying.
You play the Houston Texans. You know what to do. All right. It's 4:40 Texans report here on Wednesday. And B. Scott, you were out there at practice today. You were out there listening to D'Amico and CJ. The big day when we hear from the big guns with the Texans. I'm actually, this point, I'm going to let you kind of take the lead because there's a lot of news today. There's a lot of news from the injury front, especially Brevin Jordan being placed on IR, certain guys that didn't practice. For you, though, being out there, being in the room, listening to everybody, getting a feel of it, what for you feels like the big story coming out of Wednesday's practice and media?
Yeah, so the big piece of news is that both centers, the first center, the first string center and the second string center, were working off to the side, did not formally participate in practice, right? They were basically doing individual workouts, like y'all have seen how injured players do, off on the side field. And then the way that they were talked about it in the, you know, in the media availabilities after practice, as if, you know, Juice Scruggs would not be practicing and that Kendrick Green, the work that CJ Stroud, I actually asked him about this directly, you know, developing the relationship and how difficult that is, developing a relationship on the fly or when the center is changing week to week, what the challenge is of that. He had to deal with that quite a bit last year and even now more so, three centers in 3 weeks possibly, going from Scruggs to Patterson and likely Kendrick Green. That was the big piece of news, that it looks like Kendrick Green is going to be the guy that at least starts this week. We did not realize that Jared Patterson had that calf injury until we got out there in practice and saw him working off to the side with a big wrap on his calf. So you've got that. And then Nico Collins, this is actually something that I didn't necessarily notice in real time. Maybe took it for granted. But Nico Collins shows up on the injury list, or I'm sorry, on the injury report with a hip and a foot, you know, not practicing today. And I did not see him in the locker room either. So those two pieces are the big ones. I would say Brevin Jordan would be a third. But that's also significant to lose really your number two tight end for what looks like the rest of the season to a knee injury. Did not know he was injured either until earlier
today. This feels the rest of the season is what
it looks like.
The word is.
It looks like it. And y'all could hear the way they talked about it, like almost memorializing.
Heartbreaking.
Hopefully. I mean, when you talk about somebody like that and he lands on the injury list the way he did, it makes you feel like that. Like that thing's pretty much a wrap.
I know you were saying that. You felt like the center. It felt like the way CJ was talking when we had him on here live earlier.
I agree with you, B. Scott. I mean, if you just listen to the tone on both those guys, Brevin Jordan and then the center situation, it just sure seems like the tone and the vibe in their comments is it's going to be a little bit longer term for Brevin Jordan than just the you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever the hell it was. And then with the center situation, it sure seems like Kendrick Green is who they're leaning into at this point. Which, look, I don't know what options they have. If somebody can't practice, and Kendrick Green's obviously the guy. The other thing, the running back situation. With I'm less worried about Joe Mixon's ankle and a little bit more worried about Damian Pierce's hamstring. You know, that could be one that could be a little bit more longer term and obviously could be more of a problem. Managing that ankle is one thing, but a hamstring can take you out for weeks and weeks, and you don't have a choice. So two of your top three running backs, with the third being the one that fumbled on the goal line last week, that could be a concern. How you feel about it?
I think that goes to show you how much news we're talking about, that would end up being the fourth thing that we would bring up, but it is significant. I thought, you know, going into going into the day, we were watching out to see if Joe Mixon and or Dameon Pierce would practice, and we're in, at least anticipating that one of them might practice and that both of them wouldn't. And it seemed like all of us got to talk to Cam Akers today, and the way he talked and the way we talked to him, the vibe and the feeling was that he would probably see a lot of snaps. I am anticipating it being or at least at that time was anticipating it being Cam Akers. Now, D'Amico did at least leave the door open. And, you know, D'Amico does not say a lot about injuries. D'Amico Ryans doesn't. But he did say, we're still holding out hope. That was an exact quote. Still holding out hope that Joe Mixon can go. So I view the Mixon thing a little bit differently than I view, say, Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson. I don't think that they're playing. I think Mixon is still a long shot, but at least a possibility. But past that, it's the same situation in that both the top two guys are in question between Mixon and Pearson. It looks like you're going to have to rely on Cam Akers. And can he carry the entire load? Like, who is it beyond that? Is it Cam and Darray and British Brooks or some combination of somebody else that they might bring up? Like, I think an overall theme was that, hey, that run game is in peril right now between the center situation, the running back situation, and I know Brevin Jordan's, you know, calling card is not necessarily run blocking, but he's been putting his head out there to make some things happen in the run game. Like, he's contributed. So overall, the run game, I feel like over the last couple of weeks and today specifically, has taken a hit. We'll see how they respond.
Well, the interesting thing, too, with that run game you're talking about, B. Scott, is the guys you're going to have to lean on. You're going to have to ask Cade Stover to not just be a fullback and focus on that. He's going to have to do some tight end things. You know, not that he's incapable, but he's a rookie, and you're going to have to expand the Cade Stover package. Kendrick Green at center. Obviously, we're three centers deep, and you didn't want to be dependent on him at center at this point in the season. Cam Akers, which I'm cool. I think Cam Akers can definitely tote the rock and carry the load, and we'll be fine. I want to see it, right? I mean, it's still, you're not real comfortable about it when your top two guys are out, either way, any way you slice it, whether you like Cam or not. The guys that they're going to have to lean on, you mentioned British Brooks, another rookie. Are we really ready to lean on him? And you look up and you got Kendrick Green at center, Cam Akers in the backfield, maybe British Brooks in the backfield, and Cade Stover with his hand in the dirt trying to help a run game. That's asking a lot of guys that probably hadn't been asked to do a lot in the NFL yet.
And this is on top of the fact that they didn't run it well against Chicago.
Yeah.
And they ran it well against an Indianapolis Colts team that was revealed to us over the last 2 weeks now, with 2 weeks of a sample size, might just not be that good in the run game or in defending the run.
Yeah.
So there already is an existing question of how good is this run game anyway? Now, we believe in Joe Mixon, and I think the offensive line, when it's right, can be better than what it showed in that first game. But they are without Juice Scruggs. I mean, we are having this conversation. So run game takes a hit. And then you're talking about playing against the Vikings. Man, they lead the league in sacks. And pass pro ain't been exactly what you want it to look like. And you're on your third string. You're on your third center at this point. Lost a tight end. Lost a couple of running backs. Pass pro already needs to look better than it did before. Now you're going against a Vikings team that poses a threat that it does. Plus Brian Flores, we know how he does things. Like, to me, this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Brandon Scott with us, Texans Report, as he joins us each and every Wednesday. He was out there at practice and out there talking with D'Amico and C.J. Stroud and in the locker room. To that point, you know, every week, you know, the Texans are pretty good at giving a lot of respect to their opponents each and every week, whether it's true or not. Would you say, though, in this case, this is the toughest task they've had to face in the first 3 weeks, even with Sam Darnold as the quarterback? I don't know if we knew walking in that the first three games, the toughest game potentially would be the Vikings. Do you think that is actually the case, especially hearing from what they've been saying this week?
Yeah, the only commonality with this game and the previous two is that they're going up against a quarterback where you know for sure that you have the better one on the other side, and that guy is not proven. Now, Sam Darnold has more tape than Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams combined, so you're probably leaning in the other direction. Now, Clint is high on Sam Darnold's, like, tangible talents and everything, but we got enough evidence to kind of tell us what Sam Darnold is. But to me, and I've been saying this for a few days now, what is scary about the Vikings or what's threatening about the Vikings has so less to do with Sam Darnold and so much to do with what's around him. The fact that they're running the ball very well, the fact that they're getting to the quarterback. It's a well-rounded team, and Sam Darnold finds himself in a perfect situation and has the skills that Clint talks about when you combine that with being in just the right situation, with just the right coaching, with just the right personnel, you got Justin Jefferson. We'll see how limited he is or is not. But you got a run game, and you got a game breaker at wide receiver, and you got a defense that's getting after it. This offensive line is performing well. The running backs are getting yards after contact. Like, everything around him is working out. It'd be hard to really mess this up, especially with all his experience now.